When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trash Cash Podcast, episode 73. I'm Dave, the NC Picker. With me, as always, is Carrie, Harry Arbitrage, and Hello. Kevin, the Commonwealth Picker, and Mike, Reezy Resells, is our special guest. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, how's it going? Now, he was just giving us a hard time because we said we like to keep our expletives to a minimum on our show, and he said it's the Trash to Cash, Mr. Neighborhood, Mr. Reezy's Neighborhood.
He said, right? "What is this podcast for children?" And I said, "No, this podcast is of children.
Of children. That's right. We are the children." The reason two reasons. One, we like to stay monetized. Yep. Okay, and two, there are a lot of people who message us and they listen with their kids in the car. And try to keep it on the.
I feel that too. True. So I took. Not all of my episodes, but the ones that have no cussing, and I put them on a playlist like PG-13, Reezy.
Yeah,
because some people are they're legitimate. They're like, I teach public school, and I want to share your videos, but I can't share them all. And I'm like, okay, cool.
I can tell you that's okay in public schools these days. Last time I checked,
you could put anything in public school nowadays. But we're not here to talk about that. You used to teach?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What subject?
Taught AP World History. Well, I taught History 1, World History 2, AP World History. 21 years.
Nice. I love history. I hated it as a kid, and I'm obsessed with it now as an adult.
That's right.
I went to a history class in New York City when I was there this week. I saw Hamilton. I learned a whole bunch of stuff. Is that accurate, Kevin? Have you ever listened to that or watched it?
I've never gone to Hamilton, actually. I was a world history guy. I love American history, but I actually have a history bolo, but I'll get to that later.
If you haven't seen Hamilton, the play, you need to watch it. The full the bad.
I've seen.
We saw it at the theater in San Francisco. So it was not the original cast or whatever. But we listened to it, and it's on Disney Plus now, like a really nice recording of it or whatever. Yeah. But it's an incredible way to tell a story and share history through a music genre.
Dude, I learned a ton.
I'll never forget 1776.
You know how many
Jeopardy questions I'm getting because of Hamilton.
Well, last week Dave couldn't come up with the bird of America. The American bird. He couldn't come up with that last week.
It's a flamingo now. It's a flamingo.
It's a turkey.
Wait, you didn't know it was the bald eagle?
Didn't I say it was the eagle or no?
It should have been the turkey. It should have been the turkey.
It should have been the flamingo.
Jefferson
won it.
But this reminds me of FlipCon. See, you're talking about both learning something here. And Dave was falling asleep during FlipCon.
Maybe we need a wrap FlipCon
this
year.
Let's do a show. Y'all get up there.
They took
and
the
wrap
coffee
FlipCon.
Out early. That's why. They got rid of the coffee. Remember going to get a coffee and the coffee was gone? And you were Harry, Phoenix, what happened to the coffee?
Well, I mean, but you were not even awake till noon.
No,
so.
You were running in, I think. You didn't get to wake up.
Can I just throw these guys under the bus real quick? Who in their right mind makes the guy from the West Coast speak first? What is that first? 8 a.m., 7 a.m.? And I got to go, and it's 4 a.m. for me?
Yeah.
And 15 minutes before I'm supposed to go on, it's like, Kevin, hey, are you coming?
No, Harry was there.
Oh, yeah.
Reezy's putting on his shirt, running into the place, up there to go
I was
speak,
there. Kevin wasn't even drunk yet. So, it was early.
Carrie is our resident podcast tall guy, Mike. He's 5'8".
Yes, I am.
So,
5'9" and a half, 5'10" with heels.
Hey. With heels.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We're all nice and short. I try to put my camera low so I look tall.
My daughter just had her birthday party today at the roller rink, so I was at least 4 inches taller today.
Nice.
I felt tall.
So I can recommend Carrie. You're a history man. Have you seen Hamilton?
I have not seen. I've listened to the soundtrack.
Okay,
it's got some
same
good songs
thing.
On it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, it really does. It's it great, really does. So
Alexander Hamilton.
I mean, okay, so I guess my big question is, was Jefferson really a kind of a douchey guy? Like, because he kind of seems a little douchey in this, Kevin.
Well, if you like Hamilton, I don't want to get into politics too much because...
is that? I mean, yeah, the people are really triggered by 1970s politics.
Hey, listen, that's where it all started. I mean, that's where we our lines...
So I want to read these Federalist Papers. Like, I'm so interested in these things now.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started on John Quincy Adams and all that. Don't get me started on Franklin Pierce, because I'll talk all day. All
right. Okay. So we've got. So okay. So let's give Mike an introduction, because I'm sure he's never watched the show. I can't blame him.
No.
This is a semi-serious podcast. Not that educational, but a fun escape for resellers to come and enjoy some time with fellow resellers.
Not with some education.
Technically good.
With a little tiny bit of education from Kevin. Probably you will provide some education. But me and Carrie are like the recently we said that someone said that if you listen to us, you lose brain cells. But at least we didn't name our podcast after ourselves, right, Carrie?
That's true. If you want to be taken serious, you name a podcast after yourself. But if you don't any serious talk, you just go straight to the trash.
Mike, what's the name of your podcast, by the way?
Depending on which platform you look at in it, it might be the Reezy Resales Show, or it might be Reezy Talks, which is great.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we weren't making fun of you.
No. It's great.
Not about you, actually.
I love it because it's all branding, right? You got to hammer it into people's heads. Yeah. But I love it when people are like, hey, you just kept interrupting. You didn't let him talk at all or whatever. That's when I do an interview, I'm like, the name of the show is Reezy Talks.
You're going to get interrupted a lot here, and it's going to make you upset, because I know right now you're in the crypto.com dungeon or wherever you're doing your live.
Well, the NFT segment's coming. Carrie, fix your mic. I think you're on your headphone, Mike.
The NFT segment is
whenever I do interviews in the cabin, including in Carrie, I interrupt people constantly, and people always complain. Good. Why interrupt? Why interrupt? I'm like, this. You know what? If you have dead air, nobody listens.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's that too, and some people are not exactly the best at being interviewed. I will know someone like really well, and I'm like, man, I want to interview you. I don't care, like, you're not that big on social media, whatever. You got value. I want to interview you. I know your story. But then when you start asking them questions, they're not giving you the answers you want them to give you, so you have to poke and prod them, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I'll tell you, they're good. Carrie's a good. The best interview I've ever had, though, was Tim over the years. Crazy. Just incredible. Yeah. Some people know how to talk, boy.
Murano, yeah, I remember it vividly. Murano glass, what was it, crack pipe or whatever we were talking about?
The Murano glass crack pipe was the topic of the show. It's pretty cool.
So, Reezy, why two names for one podcast? Did I catch that right?
I want it to just show up when you search for my name, right? So if you go on iTunes and you search Reezy Resells, I want to make sure it comes up, along with any other show that you put my name as a guest in or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you search Reezy Resells, Reezy Talks isn't really going to come up, at least not necessarily at the top. What comes up at the top is other shows that I'm on. But I don't really have any separation between my YouTube channel and my podcast as far as putting it on YouTube. And I don't make content just for the podcast. I do YouTube video interviews or AMAs, and then I cut them down and put them onto the podcast. So on YouTube, I just am differentiating between like my regular videos and have it on a playlist or whatever. And that's, to be honest, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So,
well, dude, so I have a question.
Neither do we.
You seem like you're really passionate about podcasting in general, though, right? How long have you been into this idea of being a podcaster or doing podcasts? It seems like something you value greatly over a lot of other creators.
To be honest, I just follow the Gary Vee content model, and that is if you make any video that could be consumed in audio format, rip that sucker off and put the audio so that all of your homies who are, you know, driving their car to work, stuck in traffic, they're at the gym, whatever. There's some people that don't have a spare 30, 20, 10 minutes to watch a video, but you can reach them through podcasts. And I consistently get people that are like, hey, I just found you. I listen to every podcast you have. You need to make more. And I'm like, everyone? That's like 120.
What's the topic of it? I mean, are you really ripping your YouTube stuff and just putting it on there, or are you doing specific content?
If I make an edited video that's like, hey, this is what retail arbitrage is, and we're going here and we're doing this, and now I'm packing a shipment, you know, it has like an intro hook, and then in the end it kind of becomes just like a walkthrough video eventually, but it usually starts out more attention catching, a little bit more production in the beginning, so you can get people to go all the way through. Those videos are not making it to the podcast because that wouldn't make sense, you know. But if it's a live video where I'm just answering questions or interviewing someone, that's always going to go on there. Or even like I film my I'll do an Instagram live, I'll rip the audio off that and I'll put that on the podcast. Yeah. I edit it down so that take out the bullshit.
This
I'm just gonna write this at 12:30. Don't even worry about it. I'm gonna do at the beginning, I'm gonna say, hey, there's some explicit content, guys. If your kids are around, you don't want to be here, skip this one or come back later.
Yeah, so forget about your kids. Put the headphones in.
Yeah. For this episode, we'll just skip it.
I've got a question. I might say sassafras. At some point,
you might say sassafras.
Hey, not normally. I might go crazy. Not normally a interview type show. This is like we have four hosts and we talk about all kinds of stuff. But I'm just curious to go back to the beginning here for a second, because you've shifted your model. All of your content was reselling and retail arbitrage at the beginning, for the most part, wasn't it?
Yes.
Is that and it's not as much anymore? Is that because you're doing less of it?
So I haven't sold a single thing for over a year.
Right.
Even on Amazon.
Actually, especially not on Amazon. The last thing I sold was a $450 book about how to make violins, like a really, really old book, rare book that took like a year and a half to sell. I forgot I even had it listed. My wife plays string instruments, so she just had it on her shelf and would look at it every once in a while. But if someone wants to pay $400 for it, they can take that sucker.
Yeah,
we don't need it, you know, Stradivari violin manufacturing techniques or whatever.
Yeah.
But over the pandemic, right before the pandemic, actually, I had it set in my mind that I wanted to grow out a bulk book business. So my whole career, 15 years plus, I was just cherry picking. I had a few routes. I had actually a friend that I brought on in another location, and he had developed routes through what I had taught him before I started sharing stuff. And it made sense for us to merge at some point, so that he was like my best friend, so that we could both work on it together. And it was in everyone's best interest. So we were doing that cherry picking. And then we were like, hey, you know, let's try to scale it up and do bulk books, which is, if you don't sell books, you know, we're now getting truckloads of reject media from Goodwill or from Salvation Army or from paper recyclers. And then you scan through all of it. It's extremely tedious and laborsome. And whatever. So we had like five employees, and then the Black Swan event of the century, COVID, hits, and we lost our supplier. And we only really had one supplier, which is stupid move on my part. We just had we had two Goodwill suppliers, actually, where we were getting truckloads of books from. And
truckloads.
LTL. Goodwill shut down completely. And so that's when I learned, like, I should have took up those other offers on more supply, even though I didn't really need it at the time. I was like, yeah, we're good, you know. In hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened, because I had no work. We finished all the work we had, and I got after getting creative, and like the employees are sweeping up the warehouse and there's nothing left to do. Plus, the pandemic is in full effect. So certain things are selling for crazy prices. And so now we're literally making 10 times more money than we made using the whole 2,500 square foot warehouse, just using the front office to ship out retail arbitrage and online arbitrage and stuff like that. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, why, you know, we were profitable after 3 months, but I was like, we were like 9 months in, and I was like, okay, well, I got enough money to where I could either take $50,000 a year from this now and keep it going, or I could hire a warehouse manager to run it so I don't have to come here every day. Even though it was only about 15 miles from my house, it was a hell of a lot different than working out of your house for the last 15 years, or out of your garage or a storage locker around the corner or whatever.
Yep.
And I just kind of like came to my senses, and I was like, what are you doing, dude? You have so much bigger opportunity with YouTube, with teaching others. Like, not only can I make way more money creating content, but I can help people.
So, and as cheesy as that sounds, it actually,
yes, we shut it down entirely, completely.
So nobody's running it for you.
Nobody. Okay. We actually ended up skateboarding in the warehouse for like 4 months till our lease expired. No, it was a, it was the most fun I had in that damn warehouse the whole time.
Could you play street hockey in it? That'd be kind of fun. I know you don't do that on skateboards.
No,
but
you
definitely
could. The ground was so smooth. The ground was so smooth.
Sounds
like
a carry.
Sounds like a Tony Hawk level or something.
Yeah, pretty much. We literally took apart like the line that we made for sorting books and the stands that the employees were standing on, and we made it all into ramps and everything. And like, and the pandemic was off too, so like the skate parks were like taped off, and you know, like
which was a weird thing to tape off.
It was so weird. We would be skating and like, you know, some people would wear masks, some people wouldn't. People would be like, hey, don't film this on Instagram where I'm not wearing a mask. We're not social distancing. I don't want my boss to see this or like whatever. And so it was a weird time, but ultimately just realized that I could always go back to doing that anytime I want. You know what I mean? I could tomorrow outwork the shit out of anybody. I mean,
well, okay, so I have a question. You closed that down. You said you're going to focus on content, but there's not much content on your channel. So what is it that you do?
So
what do you do?
So here's the other part of that equation is that after that, no. Damn.
See, he sells skateboards.
You think I'm the one that the reason why you got to
bring
this
out? We're already explicit. We're already explicit at this
Dave's
point.
Dave's bringing the heat. No,
this
check
is the
it
After
out.
Dark episode.
Check it out. So don't make me turn my mic up. So what happened was I had that realization, but also at the same time, I got incredibly depressed over the pandemic. So it was partly me thinking I'm a failure. And it wasn't like I shut it down and right away was like, I'm going to do content only. At first, I went back to doing OA and RA out of my garage. It was a pandemic. It was really easy money. You know what I mean? Like, anybody who thinks they're a killer reseller because they made money the last 2 years, no. That was the easiest it's ever been. Check
yourself.
That's
a good point. That's a good point.
And so what happened was part of me was like, I failed. I suck. I can't believe I couldn't do this. And then I started to think, well, okay, you're just going to do content. And then I was like, how can I be Reezy Resells if I don't resell?
That's a valid point.
What, you know what I mean? And so I went into a depression. There was a lot of stuff. I had like some family issues going on. I convinced myself that I needed to take medication. That was a terrible decision. I got medication. I took medication for almost like a year before I realized like this is not helping. Then stopped taking. It literally made me not want to make content at all or not even be, I like
yeah,
had anxiety.
You didn't make,
I all of a sudden like had a anxiety, break. Which was the weirdest thing ever. And so I finally stopped taking that. And that was maybe 6 months ago. It took like 3 months for me to get my dopamine levels back to normal or whatever.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like getting back into it, but I still just keep planning videos and not actually recording them. I have like 20 really banger videos fully planned out. And I don't know what it is. Well, I feel so it's harder for me to get back into it. Like it was so easy. I was just rolling and doing it like 3 to 5 videos a week. And then now I stopped and now I'm like, So I started going to conferences more. And then on top of that, started making appearances on other people's podcasts. Yeah. And so I'm doing Instagram lives, TikTok lives.
Do you
again.
Think people really need you to do something super scripted and heavily planned? Or could you just turn on your camera and chat? Like,
I could definitely turn it on and chat, but those videos never make me very much money on.
And
YouTube.
you don't do any instructional stuff or sell any courses or anything like that.
No, I don't. I'm probably the only Amazon person who doesn't have a course.
Right. Those videos wouldn't be about making money on YouTube. It'd be about like reconnecting and getting back into the flow of recording yourself. Like, okay, I'm comfortable again because I just keep going on and talking.
So here's the other thing is that over the pandemic, I had 3 or 4 videos that went viral the whole time. They're still doing well. I pretty much made 10 to 15 grand a month off YouTube for the last 2 years without making more than 4 videos. Financially I wasn't motivated to make more videos as well, so that wasn't pushing me. Like, I'm about to buy a house this year and I feel like once I spend all my savings I'll be scared shitless.
There you go.
And then maybe I'll start making videos again. Yeah, I need the power of broke back in my life.
The power of broke is a powerful thing.
Yeah, well, that's where I came from, but I feel like I might have forgotten a little.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. And also I had only 220,000 subs before the pandemic. Now I have 460 something. And I'm kind of like not scared, but I'm like, I wonder what's gonna happen next time I go live. Like, how many people are gonna show up? Like 150, 300?
You should get, like,
No, it'll be it should be a lot. It should be a
I don't know, but I still have that same thing in me, which is like most people that do what I do or what we do, like helping people and teaching them stuff. I mean, I'm obviously more into the Amazon space, even though I come from the thrifting world, which is why I really feel connected to the thrifters and the thrifting. Amazon was always just money to me. It's like click, click,
it's a
profit.
Job. It's more of a
click,
job
click,
than
profit.
Fun.
Yeah, it was never fun. There was no Indiana Jones moments. Yep. You know what I mean? And those, you know,
the Holy Grail. Yeah.
Yeah. When you find a golden pen at the bottom of a box for 25 cents, and you know it's a gold pen. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that's what I like.
Those are the moments we live for. It's like that is the thing I struggle with. So many people end up going Amazon and FBA, and I'm like, I tried that. That was so clinical, so boring. Oh, I did not like it at all.
The thing is just that it's scalable, right? And so, no matter how much money I would make, I still love going to a thrift store.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I can't justify picking up a $2 item to make $8 profit because I don't want to do that 92 times. You know what I mean?
Just do what Carrie does: film it and throw it in the cart and roll it.
Yeah, there are no poets doing Amazon, but there's a lot of them doing mediocre TikToks and eBay.
And so I do feel like in the Amazon space, like how I do it is refreshing and more authentic and less like, let me sell you a course, you know, but like, hey, if you want me to hold your hand, I'll give you a consultation. You know, we can book that. Right. But it was never my cup of tea. So recently my wife started going back to the bins. The bins moved like 45 minutes away from us, maybe 5 years ago. So it's kind of a hassle, but it's still great. A little bit more expensive, but it's still great, especially since most of my competitors quit.
If I was
to go there, I wouldn't even want to go mess with the books. I would want to go look at the random stuff, at the clothing, to find the random vintage pieces or like other random. Oh, this is an antique chair. How do you know? I don't know. It just looks kind of like Art Deco-y. You know what I mean? Like there's so much stuff that goes to the landfill, but my wife is going to the bins now, like every Saturday with her friend who actually resells for income, like on the side as for supplemental income. And she's like, oh, you want to go with me? I go every Saturday. So now my wife has a girlfriend and they go to the bins and she's coming back with stuff. And she's like, well, I didn't get this or that because it didn't fit.
It wouldn't fit us.
No, I'm going to monetize this. Just wait. And so I'm like, hey, why don't you just get all the stuff that you find that's cool, regardless of if it will fit us or we can use it, and I'll sell it all on Whatnot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It might not sell for the most value, but I'll have fun doing the show.
I didn't know. Are you and doing Whatnots, or is this
I've done a few Whatnots. I wish I could get my shit together so that I could get a contract with them, but I would have to actually have regular inventory. But the point of the story is that I know I can do that really well and keep people's attention, and if my wife just brings stuff every week, then I can put it off on Whatnot. I'll put my Instagram live at the same time with the link in bio to sign up for Whatnot. That's $25 every time someone signs up, you know? So you're live on the Whatnot camera.
Oh, you're
but
giving
Instagram's
Carrie's
live
secret
over
away.
Here, and you're
don't
like, hey,
Carrie's secret away.
Hey, Instagram, let me give you a little attention. If you want to buy the stuff
idea.
I'm showing
I'm
you, you need to come over to Whatnot. There's a link in bio on my Instagram right now. Click that, sign up. You get $11 or whatever free. That means if you buy a $15 item from me on Whatnot, it only costs you $4, and then I get $25 when people sign up. And I'm not shy. I'll tell people that, you know, like, hey, help your boy out. Go sign up for Whatnot. You get a piece. I get a piece. You know what I mean? And I got to get
win-win.
This shit out of my house. You know what I mean? So
and Whatnot gets screwed. That's
yeah, good. But it's but I like that
no,
stuff.
No, Whatnot
you know
does
what
not
I mean?
Get screwed because everyone gets addicted to buying on there and spends thousands before they realize what they've done. Yep. That was only $3.
People
only
$3.
Like
to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
I've been studying the crap out of it. It is so extremely interesting to think of the modern intersection of what is it, home shopping network or QVC, the modern one. So it's like, okay, obviously there's relic people, older people, sorry to call you relics, from that
Kevin,
time period.
Sorry, Kevin, for calling you
still,
a relic.
That still remember that. But there's new people that have that in their DNA, being a shopper, that they would be a QVC shopper, but QVC is not cool anymore. Yeah. Nope. And so this is like the new
necklaces.
Thing for that, you know? And like, of course, you're going to undersell stuff if you don't have a good audience. But the people that have figured it out are like consistently just going to like Nordstrom's and getting 70% off the rack sale, taking it on there and then selling it for 2 to 3x what their price is. And the instant payout, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Because now
it took
you can
me
do
like a year to get that. But yes,
you can,
it is
you can,
cool once
you
have
it. You can do
it.
A whole show. And then it doesn't matter if you lose profit on some items. It's almost like all of the items are one sale.
Yeah, you don't even need to ship them, really.
It's also the first site, really, I feel like, to use social media and selling together perfectly. Because 100%, you can actually, people have been doing YouTube, have been doing Instagram sales. Now you can get the payment immediately. You can get paid out immediately if you do it at volume.
The difference between Whatnot is that it is a selling platform that has social in it. It's not a social platform that has selling in it. When you go live, everybody's chasing Whatnot right now. Posh is chasing. TikTok is chasing. You know what I mean? TikTok has, you know, sales in their life. But when you go live on TikTok and you sell stuff, it feels awkward. Because that's not what people go to TikTok for.
That's not why they're there.
But they go to Whatnot to buy stuff. So like right now, I'm giving them ideas. I'm like, Whatnot, you guys need to add a donation button. If you add a donation button, I'll go live and answer how to sell on Amazon questions for an hour.
So
and
why
let people
is it
donate
taking,
to me?
Why is it taking eBay so long? Because basically what you're describing is what I do with eBay. You socialize eBay and I do it out of the backyard, right? But why is it taking eBay so long to figure this out?
Because many of your eBay buyers are from your YouTube channel, correct?
Definitely. Exactly. I'd say 25% of my sales.
Is like the I almost want to say it's like the Nicole State eBay YouTube model. I feel like she was one of the first persons to really push that like that, because I was like, you know, Rally Roots does it too, but it's like they'll do a live haul. And then be like, 75% of that stuff sold. I don't even have to list it on eBay because I got messages right now asking me to buy it.
But that is so unrelatable for me. That is so unrelatable to my audience that it will, up to a certain number of them, it will be a complete turnoff because they're watching me because they're eBay resellers and they don't think they can be a Whatnot seller.
Right.
Well, and Whatnot is just straight hard. Like, if you don't have an audience baked in, you are going to spend quite a while not making much money. You got to make sure you're buying right. Anything you're going to be selling on
there. I disagree a little bit with that, because if you have the right product and you can get it in bulk, you know what I mean? There's a card shop near me called Legacy. They started doing Pokemon. They already have a established, you know, way to get Pokemon cards, but they had no following pretty much on social media. And they just started doing Pokemon rips 8 hours a day.
That's kind of an outlier, because that might be the most popular thing to sell on the platform.
And I would say this.
You could do it with vintage clothing. You just have to be on a lot, honestly.
Yeah,
there's
a couple things about Whatnot that are completely different than a lot of stuff. It's like, just like YouTube, you know, like, or you don't go to Comedy Central to see history, and you don't go to the History Channel to see comedy. So, but at least Whatnot, you could segment the division of content per show. This is a jeans show.
Yeah.
This is a vintage show. Exactly. Yeah. But it's very important that it's just not, you know.
But the entertainment value here has got to be something too. You can grow a following. You better get stuff dirt cheap. But if you're boring as soap over here, you know, I mean, it's not going to work.
I noticed you pointed at Gary. That makes sense.
If you're a Kevin, it's going to be tough.
Okay, so what's the name of the dude that sells from the bins live on Whatnot?
Flip the World.
Chris.
Okay.
Flip the World,
He's a great example of how your personality can shine, because he's at the bins. Yep. All right, well, put it to the side that's the best hustle ever, because he doesn't have to buy it to sell it. Okay, put that to the side. He has a camera, a phone on a thing, and it falls over all the time, or he got like the shittiest background with like some ugly person behind him walking by sometimes, like whatever. His personality is good enough that he can do it. Other people don't have the personality, you know, but I've noticed a lot of stuff like, you got a good backdrop. Okay, that helps a little. You playing music, that helps a little with the dead air. Some people even took it to the next level. They got a TV in the background and they play music videos with the visualizer or whatever. And so
I put on like Elf during my Christmas stream, you know, that sort of stuff.
Right. And there's crazy strategy to it. Like, I'm giving away AirPods every show now. Every single show has AirPods we're giving away. I'm just making something up right now. But you know what I mean?
I thought you literally were. Guys, go follow him on Whatnot if you want free AirPods, guaranteed.
That drives people to your show, and then you can be strategic about when you drop the giveaway, and they have to actually be in the show when you drop the giveaway. So they never
TikTok
know, you know?
Told me that AirPods would melt my brain with radiation, so I don't know. I don't know if I want your AirPods.
Right. I mean, think about it like this. You want to grow Whatnot. Your Whatnot's not very big. They there's something called a raid, right? Where people can send you to their show. So why
Which
don't you?
Which was on Twitch forever.
Of
They've
course,
been doing that
of course.
Forever. Yeah.
So why don't you hit up some people who have some decent following and be like, hey, what time does your show end? I'm going to do a show right before yours ends, and let me Venmo you $100 so you could send your crowd to me afterwards. Yeah. That's an easy deal to make with any
this guy,
creator.
This guy, let me tell you, really knows how to monetize every corner of this thing.
Do you know what a lot of people sell on Whatnot? They sell Funko Pops. Have you guys heard any interesting Funko Pop news this week?
That was their original original thing. What's the deal with Funko Pops?
Funko is throwing out $30 million worth of inventory into the landfill.
Wow.
Because they are that overstocked on Funkos right now. $30 million going into the landfill. Basically, they said there was a huge boom, kind of like what you were saying with books, like during and after the pandemic. And so now they built, and no one's buying anymore, right? Because people are now back going outside, not just buying all the time.
The free money is gone, guys.
Well, I noticed that it happened right after I did a video where I spent, like, big money on Pops. Big money for me. I spent $200. And then, of course, the news comes out the next day. Funko Pop is dying. Their stock has now tanked from $20 to $6. And they're throwing out $30 million worth of inventory. Mm-hmm. So, typical. That's how it goes when I resell.
But he's right. The free money, just as soon as interest rates started to climb, people aren't pulling that money out, and easy money's just not there.
I saw a very interesting article. I forget exactly what it was, but it was like, the International Box Organization, which makes boxes for everything ever, is announcing lower demand than ever expected. So it's like 40% less demand than previous year for boxes, and they
Speaking
make boxes
of,
for Reezy, everything.
I got to interrupt you here because we got to get supplyhut.com.
Got to do our sponsors. We got to make our money.
Yeah. To cash. Y'all go over there right now and grab some boxes. Yep. They got some great stuff. Get the record boxes. 8x6x4 is back. Paper. The best thing for hats.
Bubble
SupplyHut.
Trash to cash. 5%
supply trash to cash.
Their supplies are the bomb.
They're the bomb. Okay, and we also have to thank our Patreon top tier VIP members: Sales by Tony, Biscuit Butt, Parker County Picker, Raise Hell Resell, Tanya Arnold, ABC Matt, and that's it.
So let me tell you,
Biscuit
this,
Tony. Watch out for that guy. He got the biscuit on him.
Last week, Dave, we're listening to this, and we're driving because we're headed somewhere. And my wife's like, he forgot Tanya Arnold. And
Did I forget Tanya Arnold?
No, you didn't. Like a minute later, you're like, oh, wait, Tanya Arnold. She looked at me.
She's
like,
got to memorize. See, that's your money for your value for your money, guys.
You listen to your own podcast?
Well, my wife listens.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't here last week.
My wife,
Kevin was
my wife doesn't want to hear anything about me.
No.
She doesn't.
Mine either. Mine either.
She listens to it because they rip on me. That's why she listens to it.
Okay.
No,
yeah. That works. That works. I see that.
That's right.
You know, I do this. I do a vlog style. Like, me and Kevin both have like a vlog style channel that's specifically for vlog. Like, hey, this is what sold on eBay today, right? My wife doesn't watch that. She doesn't go near it with a 10-foot pole. She finds it incredibly boring. But I did a video of me on a business trip in New York City. This whole last week, I've been in New York City trying to sell some product for my company, and I did like a vlog of everything I did each day, and I asked her today, I'm like, hey, did you watch my vlog in New York City? She's like, no. It's like, ah, okay. she doesn't care at all. I don't care what you're up to.
That's funny.
So we also ask our patrons to give us questions for each show, and I specifically told them you would be on the show.
Nice.
Mike, so let's see what they asked us. Angie said, Reezy, sorry.
Yeah.
Reezy.
No, I'm not trying to be a dick. That's like,
no,
my family calls me Mike. Reezy's been my nickname. My last name's Resendez. So I've been called Reezy for as long as I can remember. And so when people call me Mike, and I kind of feel like they're weirdly trying to be like, I know him really well.
It's just what we do. Like, I call I don't say Commonwealth Picker, and I don't say Carrie American Arbitrage. I just say Kevin Carrie.
Yeah.
So it's
my
just
name,
what I do.
My nickname has evolved.
Okay, Riesel. Okay, no. Okay, so the first question, Angie said, do you ever get any stalkers? If so, we want to get the inside scoop.
Okay. Do you know what? I've been very lucky. I don't get recognized that often. I live in a smaller town. I've gotten recognized in town and in different places, but people are generally pretty damn cool. Like, okay. We were in New York City on vacation, and we were having a coffee waiting to play ping pong in the park because you had to wait for your turn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a guy just walks by, and he was like, yo, Reezy? And he just like walks up and he's like, "Hey, sorry to interrupt your family. You know, I got to give you some respect. Like, thank you for what you do, man. Like, I just got into this thing a few months back, but like, just want you to know I appreciate you, and I'm gonna let you get back to your family thing, you know, and just continued on. Because the truth
but
is,
nothing
you know,
creepy.
I'm just a guy. You know, I press the record button once in a while, but like, we're just guys, you know."
Yeah, Kevin. What about you? Any stalkers? I feel like Kevin could get some stalkers. Like, he does seem like a stalker magnet.
Are we talking like YouTube stalkers?
Yeah, YouTube stalkers.
Like teacher
yeah.
stalkers.
Yeah. Or regular stalkers. There was stalkers? A teacher story? I'm interested in that too.
Let's go to that one.
No.
I meant reselling
that story
YouTube.
Is for our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, that's
Patreon
right.
Patreon subscribers.
We're gonna
hear Kevin's teacher story. Well, I mean, I don't have
any
stalkers.
You've seen them in the comments, haven't you? Or there's on the Flipper channel. There's quite a bit.
I mean, you do run into
YouTube.
Some friction though, right? When you're wearing the camera and whatnot, you're at a yard sale. You go to a yard sale and they recognize you from the yard sale.
Yeah,
you're getting charged like as if you pulled a Porsche up at the yard sale.
You're paying extra. You're paying extra when that happens.
You're wearing the pants with the holes in them. You're
it's
wearing the
from,
tight fanny pack.
Yeah. It, people don't understand that, you know? I'm like, we're going to the bins. Wear your shitty clothes. Like, why?
Oh,
like, because you don't want
that's
anybody
true.
There to know you have any money.
Yeah,
calm
absolutely.
Down.
Exactly.
But I actually want to ask Kevin about this because I have a friend, Mike, my friend Big Mike, and he is a garage sale king. He's always out garage selling. He goes back and forth with, I want to make content. I don't want to make content. And I'm like, you can't let Harry Tornado make all the money, bro. You are at these garage sales. You could be doing it too. I will help you figure it out for free. You go garage selling every weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, he's
might
just
as well,
on top of stuff. And I give him a GoPro and everything. And he's like, well, I don't know, man. It seems weird when you wear the camera. It's like, I feel like I'm going to get charged extra.
Wait
and so,
a minute.
Like, what is, how
this
should I help him out and give him an answer to this?
And this person doesn't have a YouTube channel because I know a
no,
Mike
he
that
doesn't
has
have a YouTube
channel,
but. So it's my friend Mike. His Instagram is actually called Trash to Cash Glass.
Really?
Wow.
He blows glass, but he's a reseller at heart. He's a hustler.
Some people they don't
give him some value real quick.
They don't like wearing that camera. And I think Ryan Riley Roots said he doesn't like in public. And I know a couple of people who have YouTube channels who do reselling on YouTube, but they just can't go to a yard sale and film. They feel uncomfortable. Is that the situation we're talking about? Is he uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's what
he's saying.
He not only feels uncomfortable, but feels like he's going to get charged extra.
I don't get charged extra.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get charged
if they
extra.
Recognize me as a person, maybe.
A lady,
but usually they're just going to give me a better deal if they recognize me.
If
it's,
honestly,
oh, NC Picker, I'm going to give
happens.
You oh whatever you want, man. Like, they just give you stuff if they
people,
know you.
You usually overpay. We're going to go less.
I had a lady, I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and a lady was flipping out at a yard sale because I was there. I mean, she was like almost in tears and, you know, getting people to hold a camera and take pictures and whatever. And the people that are having the yard sale are just like, what? And I got crazy good deals after the lady left. I was getting tons of great stuff. They wanted to sell to me.
Here's
well, you know,
the stuff
you know,
your friend
kinda,
needs.
It's kind of like you want to ask.
This is what your mic needs
you wanna
to hear.
Ask, you know, you want to ask what the prices are before you start building your pile.
Yeah,
you know
always.
What I mean?
You got to feel them out.
It's that kind of vibe, I feel like. But I mean, obviously,
but this is,
you could do
this
something.
Is my
else.
Feedback from Mike.
Go ahead.
So, you got to, if you want to help Mike, let me talk here.
Do
so,
it. Talk.
I've had a fear of flying, right? And my buddy said, hey, the best way to deal with your fear of flying is go down to the airport and watch 300 planes just land perfectly all day. Just watch them and watch them and watch them. And it's like this, okay, you know, if they're all landing safely, my plane's probably going to land safely. And I'm not really scared of it anymore. And I think it's the same thing wearing your backpack with your GoPro. You go to, like, the 600th sale and you've only had anyone mention your camera twice, and you're going to stop being scared of it. It's just a matter of putting it
on
and desensitizing
yourself.
Sales.
And after
how
two
many,
yard sales,
how many times
nervous.
Do you think they don't even notice that you have it on?
Oh,
the majority
the time.
Of the time. Or
the vast majority.
They notice that you have it on, but they think to themselves, why would anybody be recording this so it must not be on?
Yeah, so it's just like a guy, he was out for a jog. He was on his motorcycle with his camera, and he just got off to go
hiking.
To a yard sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
just, they don't care.
In Vegas, I get asked almost every weekend why I have a camera on. Because
and do they ever care? What's your go-to response?
I'm filming you for legal reasons.
No, I say
I swear to God,
what I
that's
say.
What I told my boy. I was like, look, people have cameras in Ubers now for that reason. You know,
I'm just telling the truth.
Public.
No,
I'm like, I tell him. I put my yard sales on YouTube. That's what I say to him.
You know, no, I say the same thing. Somebody, I just do YouTube for garage
sales. Two times. I've ever had somebody ask me to turn it off twice.
And how many times have you worn a GoPro to a garage sale?
Oh my
sale?
Gosh.
Thousands.
Yeah, thousands.
Kevin has
thousands.
No shame. Thousands yeah. of times.
Thousands of times. I've never
You're
been told to turn it off,
houses?
And I've also done it thousands. I've never been told. I did have one person write me and said, hey, please take my video down. And she kind of implied she's in the witness protection program. And I just did it. But
you
like,
could just add the
in
post
general.
Blur. YouTube lets you add
yeah,
the post.
Yeah, you could add the post
blur.
Blur for
but
her,
you're definitely
yeah.
turning the blinking red light off, right?
Yes, that's
yes.
off.
Yeah,
that
yes,
definitely
I don't like to mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't like to advertise it, but in general, they don't care. But so this question about stalkers brings me to a little message. And I wanted to know what you guys would do. Maybe you've experienced this. Someone messaged me and said, hey, Dave, I saw you move to my area. I'm opening up a store, a video, like vintage video game action figure store. I'd love it if you came by and walked through my store and checked it out and blah, 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 blah. And this was back in June of last year. I wrote back and I said, nice, let me know when the grand opening is. Maybe I can stop by. That was my one and only response to this guy, right? He wrote back and said, oh, we're opening in a month or two and this is where it'll be. And then I forgot about him, right? Because we get Instagram messages all the time, right? Yep. And so, you know, I totally forgot his existence. It looks like he wrote back August 17th, and I never saw this. Our store is open. Come check us out, right? Didn't see it because, again, 10 other people messaged me that day, and I'm not like Kevin. I'm not reading and responding to every Insta message.
Is he
going to
get a free shout out?
We're gonna no, give dude, him some plugs? I'm not because of how he responded,
okay? Continue the story.
So yesterday he sends me this. Seriously, man, total D-head. You know, I'm not gonna, you know. Been following your channel for years, and you actually moved to my effing area not long ago, picking in my area instead of NC. Take your butt back to North Carolina instead of bullcrapping people and local businesses that you will do walkthrough videos of their location, which I never said I do, and I definitely would never have done
Reezy's
a walkthrough
response,
on my channel.
I can just tell you what Reezy's response would have been to his initial message. It would have been, how much money are you going to pay me?
I should have said that. Exactly. He said, you're a reseller? You're a reseller that is a piece of SHIT in our area. I've even referred you to my customers. Cool. And so I wrote back. So how would you respond to that? What would you guys say to that? Just 6 months later, he thought I was going
to
do like a promotional video.
I know Kevin's
battle
response,
rapper
in
me wants to
be...
just unload on this guy. But I think the smart version of me, which has learned to, you know, mute and block certain comments and not ever look at them because that just hurts your soul. Just no reason to look at them. Yeah. Which is kind of funny to think you can just totally erase a hater just from an automatic filter, then they don't even exist, right? You just got to let that one be, man. You got to let that one be.
I didn't, and we'll get into that. But what would you have said,
going back,
Kevin?
In hindsight, Dave, what do you think about the first reaction that you had? What would you have
I should
different?
Have never said, maybe I'll stop by, obviously, because
so
I said, maybe
start,
I'll stop by.
I get those requests constantly. I mean, I get them all the time. Yeah. So it's like, I'll be like, you know, thank you for the request. No promises. You know, this is highly unlikely that I'd be able to do this. I just don't think it'll happen. However, I'll, you know, contact you if it's possible. And I've done a couple of those things that just happen to work out, but they almost never do, right?
Yeah, I mean, how much do you think, you know, freaking Phoenix Resale's making for those electronics commercials in his videos? Come down to the Guitar Center or whatever the hell it is, you know?
Yeah,
find out what he's getting
more
paid.
Than zero.
Cut me a check and I'll show up. Otherwise...
No, but you're not supposed to get money. You're not supposed
to
get money. I'm telling you. This hits, you're not supposed to get money.
Well, yeah, people get mad if you do, but whatever. We ignore that nonsense.
Nah, I think
that's a
problem
a
that needs to be fixed.
Yeah. But I didn't even realize he was asking me to do like something on my channel about his store. Like, there's no way I was going to go why would people who watch me go to garage sales think if all of a sudden I'm advertising in this guy's store for 10 minutes, this guy I don't even know. Like, I know nothing about him. Like, it's just weird.
You better
entitled
get paid
is what
because
it, is.
It turns off some viewers, to be honest. So it's like,
and so, so I wrote back, I tried to do the Gary Vee. I tried to do the Gary Vee approach, right? And I said, hey, man, sorry you're having a tough day. I hope things turn around and you feel better.
Hey, you hit him. That's called the kindness punch, man.
Yeah. Well, but it didn't end there. He said, I've been trying to get a hold of you since June. I said, I get it. I'm an incredibly busy person. I'm super sorry. And he said, tough day? Seriously. Look how long it's been since, and you finally respond? I said, I wish I had more time. Maybe at some point I'll quit my day job and it'll free up some more time for me. So, I get about 30 messages a day on Insta and 75 on Facebook, and I just can't keep up. I'm only human after all. Right. And he said, more time? We live in the same county. I do the same thing you do, except I also own a store. I've referred people to your YouTube like at least 100 times over the past year. So some of your effing YouTube leads are from me. And for random estate sales and random items that I don't deal in. Whatever, man. You constantly say this is your full-time gig on YouTube, which I never say. I've referred so many people to you, man, it ain't even funny. To my YouTube channel, apparently. He's referring them to my YouTube channel.
Hey, the funny thing about referrals and advertisements or plugs or whatever is people never follow through. Those people never looked at anything. You know, you're lucky if you maybe clicked on something and then I showed up on your your suggested or something. Yeah. And then you watched it. But that's not because this guy recommended it. It's because I did my damn job.
Well, and just listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to make a public statement, guys. I love all of you who listen and view my channel. If you tell your grandma and your uncle and your sister about my channel, it doesn't mean I owe you a 10-minute advertisement on my channel. That's not what that means. It's not.
Grandma wouldn't not want that.
Grandma wouldn't want that. I wrote him back. I said, gotcha. Well, you don't need to watch me and you don't need to like me, but please understand that everyone has a million things pulling them in different directions at all times, and I get busy. And he's so I almost thought I was turning him around. He said, I respect you a lot, but to blow me off is extremely disrespectful. I've done nothing but refer people to your channel since you moved here, and you've done absolutely nothing for me, because apparently I owed him something. You should know, out of all the people, that is not okay, especially since you said you would be willing to do a video walkthrough of our store. I said maybe in my original message, if you go back and look, I never promised you anything, man. And he said, you've probably never referred anyone to our store, but why not? We're extremely local. Whatever, man. Have a good day, effing a-hole. And then he blocked me.
Jeez. Nice. Well, hey, guess this. Guess this is it's like the law of averages. Store. You know, when I have an experience with someone like that, I tend to think, like, I'm not the only person they pissed off today. I'm not the only person that blocked them today. Do you know what I mean? Like, getting blocked and having conversations like this is normal for people like that.
Yeah.
So, that's just what they Dave, do. We had somebody messaged me and you today. Did you remember that interaction?
Yes, I saw. Okay. I did finally respond,
I've never had one with me and you in it. I get those 5-6 times a day with different people or just myself. Yeah. And I respond. I can't help it. I don't know what it is, but on Instagram I usually do. But it was 6 months ago when I finally stopped answering every single message on all platforms except for Facebook. I never did that.
You know, if I had never responded to this guy at all, Kevin, if I had just never said anything or never even looked at his message, he would not have gotten as offended. He would have just said, oh, NC Baker doesn't look at messages.
That's my point. Is once
that would have been the better plan.
I know, but I just like, I feel so, I don't know.
What do you do, Reezy? Do you respond to everything?
It depends on how bored I get. Okay. But I generally, I'm addicted to my phone just like many other people are.
Yeah.
And so when I'm like, what am I doing? Whether I'm sitting on the couch and the family is watching something that I, you know, they're watching like Nailed It or Super Nanny or something I'm not into. You know what I mean? I try to be like, hey guys, let's watch something better. But like, you can only do that so much before you're like a controlling husband. So just let people live, you know?
Sure.
And so, okay, so I'll sit on the couch and I will go through my Instagram messages and I'll answer all the ones that I see. Now, there might be more that are like down there that I didn't answer because you like have a gap of answered ones and you don't know there's more unanswered ones. But like, I generally try to answer and provide value. But also, I'm not just answering questions. So questions are content suggestions. So if I get questioned enough times, I put that note down to make a video about that. And I've done that for 7 years now so that I can reply with a link to a video. And I
questions
use an app.
Content suggestions.
Exactly.
I like
so
that.
I use an app in my phone, and you guys should get this too. It's called Wordboard. It's not free. It's like $2, but it's a text expansion keyboard, custom keyboard text expansion, and it's better than the iPhone because it has formatting included, so carriage returns, indentations, everything like that. So I will make a thing that's like, people are like, how do I get ungated? So then one button on my keyboard, I switch it to the Wordboard, and it's green or red, and it says ungating. I tap that, and it says, here you go. Here's everything you need to know about getting ungated, and a link to the video.
I've just got two. I've got two titles for two Flipper videos from this discussion right here. I wrote them both down. I've got two titles.
Right.
So there you go. Carrie, I feel like you're like me though. I feel like Carrie sits down and like clears his Instagram every day before he goes. Like, I clear my Instagram. I won't reply to every person, but I reply to most of them and I read all of them.
I definitely read them all and try to reply if I can. But sometimes, you know, it seems like a trap. You know, you get a lot of.
That's exactly right.
I have a lot of fake reply made me in his debt.
That guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of fake accounts on Instagram trying to like pretend to be me and scam people for crypto or day trading. And so half of my messages on any given day might be people just saying, "Hey, this is you," or "Is this you?" or like. Thanks for the follow, and then I'm like, "Hey, I didn't follow you." Like, this is step one how to tell if it's fake, is that if I followed you, it's probably a fake account.
If I were in your situation, Dave, I think I would reply to almost none. Because if you can't reply to most, I think I'd reply to none.
Well,
because
I reply once, and then I don't have time to reply again, because I'm so bit. So it's, like, really tough. Mm-hmm. Carrie, what did you say about your Instagram messages?
I don't even remember.
Carrie's not doing well today.
Do you answer all your messages?
Yeah, you respond to everyone.
Here's an issue.
You didn't.
Yeah. Here's an issue for me. Go ahead, if you want to answer it, answer. But I got a different topic, sort of ish. People write me on eBay all the time, and so I'm getting like social media stuff. I mean, dozens and dozens in eBay, and I'm trying to keep up with the eBay questions. So I never reply on eBay to anything because I'm missing stuff I need to have for eBay.
That's a downside of eBay too, right? Being a YouTuber eBay seller is you get a lot of looky-loos. And those are views that don't convert to buys. And those tell the algorithm that you have bad products in your store.
And let me tell you, the more
Really? I didn't even think about that.
So this is
I do have a lot of watchers on like everything.
That's why a lot of eBay resellers have two different stores.
Accounts. And I don't talk about this often because it sounds like you're ungrateful, and I'm not ungrateful at all. But it is absolutely true, and it's been my Flipper channel has been growing like crazy. I mean, we're getting 15,000 to 20,000 on a Flipper channel, so many views. And so I look at my metrics, and my conversion rate, I think that's what they call it on eBay, is just going down and down and down and down. And the old part of my store, I get no sales from
it
anymore.
You guys got to remember that, like, at least the way I see it is that you guys are essentially two types of content in one. It's like, okay, look at Harry Tornado and Phoenix Resell. They're entirely entertainment. They basically only apply and appeal to man children. No one is really watching them to learn how to sell, but people who are I wish I could live that life. I might want to do that and never really try it. You know what I mean? I might want to wish I had every GameCube game I could ever have. They watch that stuff. And dude, shout out to them. They're great, especially Phoenix Resell. The way he crafts his videos is catchy. He gets me sometimes. Yeah. I might watch a whole series, right? And that's genius. Yeah. No one else is doing that. But I consider like Commonwealth Picker, Kevin, your channel, it's more like the Come Thrifting With Me, which has that element of Christmas present, unwrapping stuff. You don't know what you're going to get, but you got to watch until the end to see what you're going to get. But you also sprinkle in some education. But your audience is definitely mixed between people who have zero interest in reselling at all, like to watch and go and see what you find, just like people watch Antiques Roadshow, but they're not flippers. Do you know what I mean? It's just interesting for them.
Absolutely.
And then Palm also
stars,
people,
all that sort of content.
You know, the more advanced resellers don't need to watch your stuff at all. So I think I've given you this tip before, Kevin, is like you should experiment with cutting your videos down to be much faster with no fluff and just
Caleb
like
tells
here's,
me the same
here's,
thing.
Here's the thing I bought. Here's what it's called. Here's how you can find it. Here's what I paid. Here's what it's worth. Keep your eye out for these and just bam, 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 bam. Like take one video and turn it into another video too. So you have your full video, then you have your fast cut. And I promise you, you have a whole demographic of people that will only tune into the fast cut because we are so asinine with our efficiency and we want to get stuff done and learn more because you know it's all about you see it one time. Now it's in your brain database and you might see it yourself when you go out again. And that's why people like to watch you who already know how to resell.
I've had this discussion with Caleb before too, Phoenix Resell. But I agree with you, but I think I need to split it. And I've kind of done it with these Commonwealth Classics. It's because a large part of my audience also enjoys the personal interaction with people, not just the item. And so there's two different groups of people. So maybe to split it and put it on two channels.
Yeah, but the negotiation, the talk, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
The whimsical fake accent that Carrie always talks about.
I think if you can make a second channel that allows you to be more direct and focused with the niche of the content without taking away from your focus, right? Like if
I need
you're
Gary
make a
v.
second channel and be out of, you know, it takes all your time, you can't do it, don't do it. Just put it on one. But if you can make it work, you know what I mean?
So Reezy, the real reason we have you on the show is so I could get 1 degree closer to Gary V. That's the real
Well, no, it was actually so I could get a break. I don't even have to host this one. I'm just kind of chilling. I'm posting some shorts on YouTube right now while this thing's happening. Great.
Do you ever do short content?
Oh, he does. He does tons of it.
Yeah, every single day.
Yeah.
You're doing
– Yeah, so that's what's funny is I have a whole subset of audience subscribers or whatever, YouTube, whatever, that they haven't – they've only followed me for the last 2 years, and like I said, I've posted like 4 to 8 videos in the last 2 years, long-form videos. But I've consistently posted a short on YouTube every single day for the last 2 years.
Well, yeah. What are you doing on you're using your Twitter, which is fairly decent size, if I recall, for Twitter as
like
as a sounding board. It's more of a personal deal.
Oh yeah, it's just me, whatever I'm thinking. So It might be a little bit of reselling. I tune in, but it's like. It's just an easy place to keep it real.
I actually follow you on Twitter more than anywhere else, and yeah. I find it. I
love
it
Twitter because,
personal.
like I said, I got into a funk, and I'm still working my way out of it. And Twitter is the platform where has the least amount of resistance between my idea, and putting it out there. So I can literally just be like, "Man, this would be cool," and I could write it, and maybe it hits or it doesn't. And on Twitter, you could post 100 times a day, nobody cares. But those ones that do well. You get 32 likes on Twitter and 12 retweets. I screenshot that and put it on Instagram. Gets 350 likes. You know,
so what do you
and
think?
82 Carrie, comments.
Carrie had this, and Carrie's been doing this thing with Whatnot. Okay, he's been doing a local shop because Dave apparently doesn't like to help local people out like Carrie does.
Yeah, so Carrie, he's been doing Carrie would have showed up shop, at that guy's shop,
and he's been doing this Whatnot at his shop. So, what is your agreement with them, Carrie? I mean, how does it? Are you just like helping
that's
him
a,
out?
That's
in
a
what
beautiful
way?
Idea because, like, I could sell anything. I could make the following, but I don't have inventory. So, I really like this idea. Yep.
Yeah.
Why don't you
Exactly that. I don't have the vintage clothing. I don't have the shoes. I don't honestly the cards. When we do cards, he's typically fronting the cards because he has a big supply of them. And he's helping me with inventory and quality stuff for my shows. And I'm helping grow his page because I have a bigger following. And we're working together to grow each other. And you know, I'm not actually making quite as much money working with them, but it's more about growing the channel. And
are you just taking a percentage of the sales?
No, I'll pay him straight up everything he makes, honestly. Straight up. I don't care. It's all about investment.
So you're doing
me.
It just for the content then?
No, I have my own stuff in the we have both of our stuff.
But I'm saying, what's your motivation to sell other people's stuff?
I want to... First off, the location's really good to do the show. Second off, he has a crowd of people, you know, that are into vintage clothing, and I want to get more.
He's
into
not
that
just
space.
Selling his stuff. He's selling his and
no,
he's
I'm
selling.
Selling it's yeah, it's 50% his stuff and 50% my stuff, and we're just collaborating. And then we'll do.
But
a
do
card
you feel like you're
we'll
getting do... more viewers now that you guys are doing it together? Is it about the same
we're
use
getting,
of it alone in your
I'm
house?
I'm getting different viewers. So I'm getting a lot of new buyers. I'm getting to a lot of new eyes. I am growing and it's an investment. I that's how I looked at TikTok for the first year before they started paying anybody. And
I think
you know
TikTok
it still is an investment
trouble, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, no. But they started paying you and then it kind of went away, but that investment in TikTok allowed me to do shorts on Facebook, which does pay a lot. And other places and help me grow on YouTube because I don't know if you guys would have ever talked to me if I didn't do TikTok. So
no,
I mean that was my first.
No, TikTok is why I talked to you.
I would have never
I did post a short. I did just post a short during this show. So thank you.
I was slipping on Facebook Shorts for the longest time. I think we're now like 3 months in of posting every day on Facebook Shorts, and it's starting good. To. They keep sending me the messages saying, you know, your viewership is up end over
are
end
you,
or whatever.
Are you? Mm-hmm. They're sending you messages. Are you working with a company or are you doing it?
Oh, I have a media agency that makes my content for me. So even though I haven't made very many videos
so
in
you
the
are
last
like
2 years,
Gary V.
They are. So the funny story is that my intern, his name's Austin. He worked for me for free for a year. And that just happened to be the year right before the pandemic hit and we shut everything down. And at the time he was also growing his social media and he's younger. So he's kind of a little bit more in touch with stuff and started to figure stuff out. And he made that, he's the kid who's in the Home Depot video with me when I'm buying all the patio heaters. But it was his idea, like, hey, let's make a short. Put your clothes back on you wore in the video. Go back to Home Depot and let's film this intro. And what I want you to say is, and this was his exact saying, he was like, here's how I robbed Home Depot for, here's how I legally robbed Home Depot for $30,000 or whatever.
Sounds like a Harry Tornado title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the thing is with the internet is people are getting picked and pulled all day long from different corners of their attention. And so it doesn't matter how good your video is if you don't hook them either with the title, thumbnail, or especially the first three seconds of the video, they're not going to make it to the good content. But if you can get them to that part, they will suffer through much worse content or, you know, at least get to the good part. And so it's all about, you know, like he had a video that is essentially a short history lesson on Hershey's company, right? But the hook for that video is, here's how giving Americans diabetes can make you millions of dollars. And then, you know what I mean? Obviously, sugar doesn't give everybody diabetes. Some people are born with diabetes. There's different types, like whatever, whatever. But those people can argue with each other in the comments all they want because that's not the focus of the content piece. You know, you're going to argue with me about...
I mean, that's...
You know what I mean? The value is in the history lesson.
And Dave knows this. Dave, I mean, look at your most popular videos, Dave. They're not your best picking videos, right?
No.
And there's two different audiences. You got to satisfy both audiences. You got to satisfy that non-picking audience and your picking audience, in my opinion. Although making money, you're better off satisfying your non-picking audience. I'm not going to do that.
I don't
know
if I like Kevin.
That's a difference.
I don't know.
That's a huge difference that we could talk about.
Sexy Kevin.
There's a huge dichotomy to that, you know. I think I make more CPMs than most reselling channels because my focus is Amazon. And so I do a few different things, but the algorithm knows me as the Amazon guy.
CPM is how much money he earns per 1,000 views.
Right. And so my CPM on YouTube is like $80 to $140. But if you have – yeah. But if you're a CPM, if you're a skateboarder and your ads are for Wendy's, your CPM is $7.
Dude,
I'd like to know what
moderately...
Harry Tornado and Phoenix Resell's CPM is because I feel like it's a lot lower.
Right. I had a moderately successful Minecraft channel and my CPM was $2.
Right. But the thing is you have to weigh the scales. Do you want more views? There's only a certain amount of people. Like, I don't think my channel's that big, but there's not very many like reselling channels that have close to 500,000 subscribers. Unless you're talking like Paul Cantu, but he's clearly an entertainer.
If you're making money, for those other creators, we have a lot of creators that listen to this. Here's how you weigh the scales. Are you making money? Are you monetizing your views in any other ways than CPM and RPM, which is I've been trying to get Carrie and Dave to do forever.
Which, yes, right? you absolutely need to. So if you, I'm going to drop a little knowledge real quick. If you want to learn how to monetize outside of YouTube, follow Roberto Blake on YouTube. He is the guy. That is my dude. That's my favorite YouTube educator. He is the only YouTube educator that really pushes business straight up. And he urges people like, hey, don't depend on AdSense. You never know what's going to happen with AdSense. The algorithm could change tomorrow and your $10,000 check could be $1,000.
I'm telling you, a year from now, I mean, two parties don't agree on anything in this country, but both parties right now agree that they don't like TikTok.
Yeah, it could get banned, and a lot of people think it should be banned. Who knows? We can't trust China, that's for sure. But what I'm saying is, like, do you have an email list? You should. Do you have a call to action in your videos for your email list? You don't have to do it in every video. You don't have to do it in the first 5 minutes, but do it somewhere in your video, especially if you're doing live streams.
Right.
Do you have
SupplyHead.com.
Do you have advertisements on your channel? Do you rip your audio off and put it on a podcast?
Right,
because you could put ads on the podcast. You could put ads on the YouTube video, hard-baked ads. You could make a $99 starter course. You could make a just figure out how to help people and provide them real value. I mean, we all know all the mistakes we made when we first started. I'm not saying you
Dave's still
make $1 million, but there's so many different ways
you can... my own failings.
Yeah.
But that's the appeal.
There's a multitude of ways of monetizing stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And You got to look out for your star player.
My reseller genie code NC picker.
There you go. Yeah.
What would Roddy Piper do?
That's right.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Wait, Kevin, we have to at least get your comment of the week. We have not heard it yet. Did you pick one? I know you have it on standby.
I got a few here. Aw, Dave, you're my favorite. Don't listen to them. There wouldn't be a podcast if it wasn't for you. And you're the funniest. She says you're the funniest. This is a comment
obviously from Dave's wife.
It was my wife. Yes, from wife. Tina Bina.
It is a woman, though. Tina, you should be worried, Tina, because it is a woman.
Tina's not listening, I promise.
Have Blake. Now, you know WBK Ultra here. So have Blake on more often. He's funny. I can say hell since this is whatever. He's funny as hell. Agreed. Yeah. Normal humans don't get up. It's funny because this is about Carrie. He's like, they agree with Blake that normal humans don't get up that early. Geez, my ex was named Walter. It's another stalker. Oh, it's the same stalker.
Are you talking about Walter Knobloch?
Yes.
Walter's the
homie. He was on the show last week. He was on the show last week. So, yeah, a lot of people. Actually, it was really divisive. A lot of people hated him.
Did he talk about comedy? Did he talk about comedy?
He did. He did.
Was he funny? Because I find that he's somewhat funny usually.
He's
not even his real name. That's like his stage name.
It might be.
Hilarious.
I heard a lot of people say.
Good.
It was Kevin's best episode from what I heard. It was your best episode.
So Reezy, what I did is I literally, Kevin couldn't make it because he's just a jerk. And so I literally just took old footage of him and looped it for the whole entire hour and a half episode.
Him just
and
sitting everyone, there nodding his head. And
everyone was tricked. They were like, oh my gosh, it took me half the episode to figure out Kevin wasn't on the show.
And so the views have actually stayed pretty
good. Views have been great. Views have been great.
My dad sends me a message. You're irreplaceable and integral.
My uncle's like, why weren't you talking on the thing? I'm like, did you really?
Dude,
did you
Steve
watch it?
Fell for it.
Yes, and so did my
dad. That's so good. Yeah, I even told him at the beginning of the show, Kevin's not here, but I'll make sure there's a video of him down there anyways. They just didn't believe me.
I want to touch on another thing real quick. That's super funny because in this world where everyone's distracted all the time, like when each of us go on the internet, it's completely tailored to distract us. Yes. It's designed for you specifically to
Facebook
distract
more
the
than
shit
YouTube,
out of you and keep you on. And so you only see what it wants you to see, and we know it's not giving you what you really want to see. It's just what it thinks you want to see. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, they're not paying attention no matter what. And then you have creators who will post the thing they made or worked so hard on one time. Post it again. Chop it into 22 pieces and repost each one, linking back to the original one. Like, just like you need to see an ad impression like 5 or 8 times or whatever the ad people say before it really hits. You might need to have me post that same video 5 times before you really
watch
it.
I had to try to convince Carrie to do that for like 4 months when I first started talking
to
him. Because like I posted this same video of me picking up an E.T. soap bottle and being like, wow, that's nostalgic with the E.T. music.
Dude.
Every time I posted it, it gets 1.5 million views. Yeah. And I posted it like 6 times. It's just nothing. It's a nothing video.
Right.
And everyone wants to see it.
I have a Facebook one they keep posting. It's over 10 million views at this point. And it's been posted like 6 times. It just keeps getting views. It's like, who's watching this?
New people. Well, that's the thing about the algorithm on
TikTok.
How much
do you make off that video, Kev?
I made a lot of money off of that video.
What's a lot?
Yeah.
Let me know. We don't share money on here. I thought we were resellers.
Numbers.
It is a real.
Home Depot one of me like has 11.3 million views or 11.4. It's my most viewed video. It's a 40-second video.
40 seconds.
I've only made $450 off of it on YouTube Shorts.
Okay, YouTube Shorts.
But it earned me 87,000 subscribers.
Yes, that's exactly
a single
right.
short.
Okay, so here's a little insight.
And those people went and watched a lot of videos because my content's evergreen. Big tip to people, don't make your titles. You won't believe what I found at this yard sale because no one will click on that old video and go watch it.
Change the title after
later.
A while,
change it later after you get the siphon off the current subscribers.
Yeah.
I don't actually know how to look at a reel on Facebook and see what I made on it. I don't actually know how to do that. I really struggle with the
Facebook
analytics.
Facebook is a pain.
What I say is, so like last month I earned $500 in my reels bonus as a total, and I posted like 60 reels. So I guess I could say 500 divided by 60. That's how much I earned per
reel. On Instagram.
That's on Facebook.
Okay, that's killer.
Yeah.
That's grocery money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. $500 is not bad. And, well, I mean, it's grocery money, not for my whole family, but for me.
Right. Well, the other thing is that you can monetize it in different ways, too, right? You might only get $500.
Put it on Insta, put it on TikTok.
No, but you can pull up on other companies and be like, yeah, look, my videos get 10 million views, 5 million views, 1 million views. What about giving us a hotel 3-night stay for free? We'll plug your hotel in a video, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's easy.
I've never tried that. So that's an interesting idea.
I have a family channel where I put family vlogs. Those are the only videos I really fully enjoy making or that we watch as a family. And I used to put them on the main channel for the longest time, which was not a good idea. Finally wised up, put it on the separate channel. But we still reach out to hotels and like, hey, we're going to Disneyland. Maybe we could work a promotion and like, here's my main channel, you know, swing that around. Here's my family channel.
Swing it around?
No, I'm serious.
What's your family channel called?
Reezy Fam Vlogs.
Okay.
So I will just tell you, I wear these type t-shirts all the time. And so I've tried exactly what you said with different t-shirt companies for a long time. Finally, they just sent me 4 t-shirts and they're giving me money and t-shirts and I got a t-shirt sponsor. You just gotta push it. And
so many ways.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of money.
I think it's really interesting, this phenomenon in this space, though, Reezy, of so many people being opposed to resellers making money on content or courses or whatever. People get like, they're vehemently opposed, but they're hustlers. So why are they vehemently opposed?
I think it's because a lot of us come from less or come from nothing. And the reality is, I think this kind of proves the point, is that like, I know people that, you know, come from well-off families and they were educated about money at a young age. You know, they probably had a Roth IRA from age 2 years old or whatever. And, you know, their parents taught them, hey, if you're going to do something, it's not worth you running across town and back for 4 hours to make $100 unless you have to. Otherwise, build something that's going to create long-term value.
A massive majority of resellers are, I don't want to say cheap because that's not.
Oh,
really...
we are cheap. We are cheap as hell.
I don't know. It doesn't give me the right connotation, right? I still to this day, I can't help myself trying to save a buck at a yard sale, even though I know it hurts me financially to haggle at a yard sale.
Look,
because I'll have less viewers watch it. But
I can buy any cup I want, but I am drinking water out of a jar.
That's right.
Why? So you because do it, does be the, it does the job. Space. I don't need to go get a freaking Versace cup. I don't need a fancy cup. I got a jar, holds water. I'm going to drink it.
I'm going to trash the cash cup.
But I don't even use the name brand Depends anymore. I just use the Walmart ones.
Right.
Exactly. I don't even use Depends. I just go and then I change. I go and I change when I have
but
time.
Look at Carrie. Carrie's perfectly happy. I'm sorry. I don't want to speak for you, Carrie, but he would rather, you know, just make enough money to live and have a good life than go out and work 50 hours for some other guy.
What's that story? Exactly. You guys might have heard this story. There's like a parable, and I only recently heard it, but it's like the businessman and the fisherman. And the businessman meets the fisherman who lives in the small town fishing village in Japan. And he's like, dude, you're catching these fish. And they're good, and you're selling them at the market. And it's like, you need to save up your money and get a bigger boat. And he's like, why? So you can catch more fish.
Yeah.
And then what? But then you can get an even bigger boat, and you can get some people to work on it for you. And then you can catch more fish and make more. But then why? So you could have 10 boats. Then why? Well, then you could have a company, and it can be on the stock market, and you can be traded. And then why? And he's like, because then you could sell it, and then you could do what you want to do. And he's like, all I want to do is go fishing.
That's exactly right.
I'm already doing it.
Yeah, so like, what's the point?
Listen, I talk about, you know, when you start hiring people, whatever, you know, my kids work for me. We have a family friend. But there's no way in the world I'm hiring, other than maybe somebody to edit a video or to work for, you know, that kind of thing that I can't physically do, mentally do. But I'm not hiring 10 people to sell stuff for me.
Right.
And I think you did. And then you have
no
doubt
like
that you
didn't like
it at all.
You didn't like it. Let me tell a story real quick. Because making money, especially on your own, is completely different than having a business. When we get into having a business with employees, these are real business stuff. Not eBay, not Amazon, nothing. It's like, I got to be a leader. I got to read leadership books. Why am I paying you to do the work? Because I don't want to do it. So how am I going to convince you to do it when I don't want to do it? Because I got to lead you to do it. And so I'll never forget, I was putting books in the bathroom for the employees to read because I'm trying to, like, you got the coffee stand, the pastries, like whatever. You're trying to make it like as googly as you can, you know, low key. And I'm putting books in there, and one of the books I went to put in there was the 4-Hour Work Week, And I was like, no, nah, we're not putting that one
we're
in there.
We're not putting like, that one in there.
I don't want them to read that one, right?
So, and so it's propaganda.
Yeah, I felt disgenuine and yep. unauthentic mm-hmm. because the yeah. real version of me will tell Indeed. My own employees mm-hmm. to quit yep. and make money on their own because I believe yeah. everybody could do it. I think we all think anybody wants to do it, but the reality is most people just want to get their paycheck and do whatever yeah. they're doing on the mm-hmm. side or whatever.
Yeah.
But so, they could, and that's what I want everyone to know. So how am I supposed to run a business with employees? Like, this madness.
I started watching mm-hmm. Craigslist yeah. Hunter, and I started watching him
OG.
Years ago.
Triple OG.
And me and John were doing the rally. You should come. But
no, I watched him. I saw an ad for that the other day. It's yeah, going down, right? 2023?
Yeah, September.
2023.
Yeah, both these guys. I saw it, and then you know how Instagram will like catch up, and it goes fast, yeah. and you can't mm-hmm. find what video just popped go. Up? I didn't know where it was. I couldn't find it. Like,
it's either me or John.
Send me the
Cincinnati.
Link.
Yeah.
I will, for sure.
I would love
got
to come out.
Coming.
That was a good time.
But my point is, I listened to Pete, who's got a big store and whatever, and somebody asked him if you could do it all over again, what would you do different? And he said, I'd never get the store. He's like, I just do it out of my house.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now Amen. He's tied to it. He's
I went
got
from,
tons of money in it. He's like, I wouldn't do it. And so
I went,
it kept me from
I went
going
from
that
having
direction.
A store. I had a store for a decade, pretty much, off and on in different locations in Utah. And this is so much better, not having the overhead, the space, the commitment to have to be open every day yep. when I didn't have that many employees.
And here's,
I wanted to just go do my thing.
Yep. And here's the kicker. I know several people that have much bigger Amazon businesses, doesn't really matter what niche they're in, but they do, you know, $1 million a month, $5 million a year, $12 million a year, whatever. And I'm asking them, I'm like, yo, so what's the deal? Like, you got to go to work 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? You got people that depend on you. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that sounds
Feed
like the opposite
machine.
Of why, the opposite of why I do this stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, they're like, yeah, but I own the land and the building. And that's their exit strategy. It's hard
right.
work. They're getting paid mm-hmm. six figures, maybe one
yeah.
and a half,
Especially
six
out
figures.
California,
but
whatever.
Then at the end of the day, at the end, when they're tired, ready to hang up the saddles, you know, in the
that's
reselling
it.
Business, they own the land in the
yeah.
building, and they could sell that for
yep.
a fat chunk or
I
rent it out. And then
that
kind of clicked on
right
me,
now.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well,
was,
that's like
yeah.
a long-term realty goal, which a lot of people transfer into realty anyways.
Just talking to Carrie about mm-hmm. this week. I called him up because there's a spot locally. I mean, we're not California money here in Florida, right? But there's a spot, or it's like a commercial spot. It's a big building with a huge garage and a work office building, and it's $300,000. It needs a little work, and I'm like, dude, it'd be sick to buy that and work out of it. And then if I ever want to stop working out of it, I just sell it at a profit once I fix it up. Like, there's totally
Hopefully
something viable there.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's undervalued right now because the market's pretty bad. But anyways, I just think that's a cool idea. I get that.
There's so much stuff. Like, we don't learn any of this stuff in school. They don't teach us how to make money. They don't teach us how to keep the money. They don't teach us how to do taxes. You know, like, people say, I said this the other day while I was talking about taxes, and, like, you know, people say secure the bag, but they don't tell you that you got to secure it again. After you secure it, you got to secure it again. It's a whole nother job making sure the IRS doesn't take all your damn money.
Exactly right.
And so it's like, these are higher level conversations that, you know, you don't even get into until you start making money. But the rich people who understand this stuff, you got to get a property. You got to put it in that, you know, non-tax life insurance policy or whatever it is, you know, like, people, I just sold my lease option car, and I made like 12.5 off of, you know, I owed 17, 3-year lease, sold it for 29.5, made 12.5. And then people were like asking me, like the Dave Ramsey dudes, like, why'd you do that? You know? And I'm like, well, I own a business. So that's a business expense.
That is a huge part of reselling that people aren't grasping right now. And so many people are going to leave, which was going to be good for a lot of us. But you better get your tax stuff figured out now. Plus, people who can sell $100,000 worth of stuff on eBay, which, you know, isn't massive money, but it's good money.
It could change your life.
But you can protect it. You should pay very little tax on that if you do the right things.
Yeah, like a lot of people don't know, you can pay, at least right now, you could pay your minor child like up to $12,500 every year tax-free. Now, you got to put them on payroll, and they got to pay payroll tax, but you don't have to pay income tax on that. And guess what? They're kids, so you own their money too.
Yeah,
right,
exactly,
there's all kinds of other stuff. There's like,
you haven't met my daughter.
Now, but from what I understand, you need to be S Corp level, right?
Well, if you're not an S Corp, you played yourself already, because then you're paying self-employment tax. Okay, so if you, there's literally no benefit to having an LLC. Everyone's like, I have an LLC, but it's what I've heard from lawyers is that if someone really wants to come
get
you for something,
there's no tax benefit for an LLC.
Right, but also I've heard that you're not legally really protected from a skillful lawyer that wants to come get you. So I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really
I'd rather him go through the hoops, but you're right.
Right. But you probably sounds like you know more than I do, but I'm headline reading a bit. But as far as becoming a LLC that elects to file as an S corporation, the benefit of that is that you choose to pay yourself a reasonable salary, literally says reasonable salary. There's no definition. Can't be $5. But let's say you make $100,000 profit, declared profit. Instead of paying 15% self-employment tax on that, which is $15,000 because you're just an LLC, if you're an LLC filing as an S corporation, you salary yourself for $20,000, right? And that is payroll taxes and blah, 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 FICA, Medicare, whatever. But for the other $80,000, you literally write yourself a check at the end of the year, and that's a draw for $80,000, and you don't have to pay 15% on that $80,000, where if you were a regular LLC, you would. And that's huge. That's I'm not going to do the math right
this
now,
is
but
where
it's
you
probably
say you're
around
not an
10
grand. But you're right.
Yeah, no, I'm not an accountant, you know, like
not an accountant. But
I do want to share these things with people
Living
because I didn't
California,
know half of this stuff when I started.
Is not a reasonable salary in California. Just it just
depends on how, you know, it is if you only do work 20 hours a week on
Virginia.
That business.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. You're exactly right. And it is, you know, you have basically, can you make the argument? If you can make the argument to yourself in your own mind and have normal people agree with you, then you're right.
It's your patriotic duty. Right? Do you guys know about the Augusta rule?
I've never heard of it. All
right, so check it out. I'm glad to share this with you guys or anybody else. So you could Google it, Dave, if you want to see what the premise is for this. But basically, someone, rich businessman, rented his house out for the Augusta Golf Course. It's on the golf course, right, at 1 year. And then he was like, hey, this is all business expense. You know, I'm not paying tax on this. Like, and the IRS challenged him, and he won. So now there's precedence, and it's called the Augusta rule. So every American is allowed to rent their dwelling for up to 14 days a year completely tax-free. So you rent your own dwelling to your own business for an on-site, for a photo shoot, for a whatever. Listen. And then you're able to expense out untaxable money equal to that value in your area.
This is why it's important to have people like a person that knows what they're doing. Because I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know, okay, reselling taxes. We talk about my reseller, Genie, whatever. But we're all content creators. I mean, that's a whole new ballgame. You can write off so much. I mean, you're talking about going to Disneyland and
tax
you're filming.
Tax write off.
And you're filming.
Filming it, baby.
Cameras.
I mean, you want to talk about write-offs?
Yeah, we went to Italy. We went to France. Every penny I spent the whole time. If I was filming, that was, you know, let me do a little food review real quick in this video. Like, that was all business expense. Yeah. And, of course, I mean, I almost feel like at this point that if you don't get audited every year, you're not doing your best to preserve your money. I swear to God, I get audited every year, and it's an endless battle, and it comes down to the end where they're just like, all right, fine, we'll take this much, we'll agree on this, and I'm like, cool, great, done. But otherwise, it would have been you paid way too much. No, I'm dead serious. I feel like if you don't press them, they're going to take what they're going to take.
So me and Carrie are the two on this show that don't really think through the money as well or as much as Kevin and you do. But like I've been doing some vlog style videos with my work trips, like I said, and they're getting people are watching them. Like a lot of people, almost the same amount of people watch them that watch me pull orders on eBay, right? Mm-hmm. Like 6,000 to 10,000 people will watch me just travel. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it makes me think I'm going to Universal Studios this coming weekend. Maybe I should vlog it.
You should separate it out, though, because you're confusing the algorithm, and the higher CPM is in the financial sector.
So, Matt, part-time pickers, used to film when he was at Disneyland. He'd film a What's Sold, and he'd have stuff popping up. But this brought up another point.
That's an idea.
My whole Garage Sale Nation Facebook group, which is at 21,000 at this point, which y'all laughed at, just saying Carrie helped, Dave ignored.
Could not resist saying that. It doesn't matter. It's not about numbers.
It's like three posts a month on there. We call that a dead Facebook group.
Let him have his flowers.
I got contacted by somebody who wanted me to come to their sale and promote it. They're giving, just like he said, they want to do a hotel, do whatever. That whole travel, that's all, everything's write-offs. You can just write everything off, and they're willing to pay for a write-off. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yep. That's lots why I like, that's part of like when I was doing Picking Across America, my whole thought was we could travel and see places we've never seen, but I'm doing a video every day. All the hotels, all the mileage, everything.
So you did write it all off.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It's write off. Yeah. You could write it
off.
I'm
the only one not thinking.
Shannon,
I mean, I would talk to your accountant, but yeah, you can.
Yes. Another thing I want to add too is that besides having a good CPA, you need a good bookkeeper. And you should have, unless you're the bookkeeper, but you should have them separate. And the reason is because you can talk straight with your bookkeeper. You can tell them what everything actually is. And can we do it like this? I was thinking about this. What's the rules on this? And they will have everything clean so that you just hand those numbers over to the CPA. Listen. And the CPA is the one that can get in trouble or whatever. So they like it when it's clean and they don't have to deal with any crap.
So Dave's not going to like me saying this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways because I think it's important. And this is good for resellers, not content creators. But we all, I think, Carrie, you're working with Jenna. We all have the same bookkeeper. I think we do, don't we?
Okay.
Well, you should, but whatever.
Me and you have the same bookkeeper.
Okay. I'm using for CPAs anyways, not your dad's CPA.
Mark, right.
But I have a separate bookkeeper, which actually costs more than what I pay him, which is kind of crazy.
Resellers. Well, we talk about my reseller genie. Dave, what you got to do your code in here. What's your code? NC Picker?
Yeah, it's probably NC Picker, but I don't know.
All caps. Any rate.
Yeah.
That is a huge space, and it used to be GoDaddy and QuickBooks, and these resellers really, really struggled. Now there's options out there, and there's wisdom coming through the process of having bookkeeping designed for resellers, because reselling, it might be a profession that's 50 years old, 100 years old, 2,000 years old, whatever.
It's the oldest profession.
But listen, this new way of working for hundreds of thousands of people, it's becoming recognized, and people are learning how to do what Reezy's talking about, which is to minimize your taxation. And I think things like My Reseller Genie are just starting to just blow up because so many people want to do what we're doing because they don't want to go work for the man for 50 hours a week anymore. They don't want
to
do it.
People are happy to make 50 grand working for themselves rather than 100 grand and hating their job every day. And look at all the big corporations, all those big corporations that we all know, Fortune 500 companies, they're all break-even companies. They all have zero taxes and declare zero profit every year, right? Yep. So the more and more we get into it, I really feel like the whole system is completely rigged to keep the average man who is trying to just be a laborer or a worker for someone else and tax the crap out of them. Most taxes are paid by people that have their check to check.
It's worse than that because I think what you see out there is the government, you know, whether it's purposely or not, but they're trying to make it difficult for us to do what we're doing because they want that top tier of ownership level. And, you know, and that ownership level is pushing for more, pardon my French, but, you know, stupid employees that'll not read the book that you're talking about in the bathroom. That's what they want.
That's better be careful. We're just going to go back to the barter system. We won't even use money, and there's no money. You can't pay any taxes.
Once they get rid of cash, that's exactly what a lot of people are going to do.
I mean, we can talk about that. They got the CBDC thing coming out soon or working on it or whatever, right? Central bank digital currency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's talk about crypto and Gary V real quick then. Since we're
you guys got your silver coins in the safe.
How come you're not? How come they tease me about V friends all the time? You know, so how much have you lost? I paid $5,000 for two V friends. Two. Okay.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth more right now, for sure. Series one?
He didn't lose any money.
Two series ones. I sold one of the series ones at the top of the market. I still have the other one. So, Carrie, you can laugh at me all you want. So, but I'm just wondering why you're not speaking at VCon. That's what I want to know. Gary's not hooking you up with a speakership there?
I actually sent him a text, and I was like, hey, I want to speak at VCon. And he was like, let's make it happen. And then I kind of didn't respond to him. I don't know. I maybe could still, but it's like
maybe he's listening to this podcast.
My imposter syndrome is very, very thick, and I feel like as far as the streets are concerned, I haven't posted enough content lately to earn that.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel. But you know, if someone doesn't show up, I'm gonna be there. And you want me to go on stage? I'll freestyle a 45-minute speech right now.
At the Trash to Cash Vegas Bash. How we doing, Dave? We need to announce that again. We got to sell some more tickets.
Oh,
or what?
That's actually a good reminder, guys. We are having an event in Vegas, just a hangout event. Speaking. I don't know if we're doing any speaking though,
no,
Kevin. But anyways,
well,
make sure you buy
speak.
A ticket down
we
below.
We did it
40
like an
bucks.
Impromptu show in the, at the 127.
We could.
Get
I don't
there.
Know if we're gonna have a mic or anything. You know, we're going to be speaking at the reseller
rally.
Right?
Yeah,
we're going to be speaking at that one.
I think we should do the podcast. Literally
who's running
as
the reseller rally?
In.
Is it Craigslist Hunter, Pete?
Yeah, and Cincinnati Picker, and then that guy below you.
Yeah, we're doing
those
it.
Three.
Yep.
Nice, so, nice.
Yeah,
good deals.
Yep. So he can definitely get you that link. Basically, is what we're saying. And then I'm assuming is Josh doing another event this year? I haven't heard
it's
anything.
It's before the reseller. Josh's event is in August.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Well, yeah,
it
I mean,
was
I don't
he
know.
Screwed my 127 plans up because
he's doing
like
another
August
FlipCon.
9th. Yeah,
I guess so. Is it in the same place in North Carolina, Charlotte, or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah,
there's a bunch.
Dude,
see,
nice.
Reseller
maybe
rally.
This time I'll spend get a couple extra days. I want to go over to Kitty Hawk and check out whatever the museum is over there. I didn't realize it was
Kitty
that
Hawk's
close.
It's not that close. Kitty Hawk's
crazy,
a good ways away.
Crazy story, which I didn't even realize until I got invited to go to that thing. Was I was like, wait. Isn't my grandfather buried over there? And my family's from the West Coast, but my grandfather married a woman who came from the East Coast. So after he retired and then became bedridden and whatever, she shipped him back East Coast with her. And then when he died, he was buried over there. And his grave was like 10 miles from the conference. And so I was able to go see my grandfather's grave. It was pretty dope. So I'm Portuguese. I'm a quarter Portuguese. My grandfather's full Portuguese. And my grandfather's grandfather, so my great-great-grandfather, was the first one that came over on Ellis Island.
So that means we have a little in common because, you know, the whole Iberian Peninsula, Dave, you Cuban, right? You got that going.
Yeah,
my grandmother was Cuban. They actually, we all grew up in California, came back here, and they fly all the dead bodies back to California to bury them. So it's a little opposite story.
Yeah.
So. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Hey, we have to end it, guys. It's been over our time. Thank you so much, Reezy, for coming, guys.
Yeah, thank
Make
you
sure
for having
you
me.
Subscribe, hit
it.
The like button. Go check out Reezy's channel and his travel channel, too. Might as well check them both out.
Yeah, yeah. You
and
can watch
anything
them
else you
want to
pimp?
They're all family friendly. The Reezy.
Yeah. Oh,
you
totally.
Watch,
he never swears.
We went to. No, no, no. There's no cussing at all. It's also really educational. We went to Pompeii. We've been to Europe 3 times. We did France and Italy, and I filmed for 14 days on a 14-day trip to Italy. So there's 14 videos on the Italy playlist.
Wow.
If you've ever wanted to go to Italy and see what it's like, especially hanging out with a really annoying dude like me, go check that out. You'll love it. Watch it with the kids.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
See you.
See you, guys.